Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
This community in Denmark doesn't play by the rules. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
So I mentioned I just got back from Europe.
You haven't yet.
I haven't? Oh, well,
shit,
let me do it. Let me do it 10 more times. But I happened upon, I was in Copenhagen before I left, and it was the night or two before I was going to leave, and I was with Michelle, my wife, and she mentioned this place, kind of, but she had not been there, so just read about it. So when I got to this place, I had no idea what I was kind of walking into, and when I was there, I became obsessed with it, and I immediately thought, Rebecca is going to want to hear about this place, and we're going to do an episode of Ghost Town about it. So I came up with this idea kind of, I didn't do any, it was just in the moment, which made it very exciting for me. And the name of this community, this area within Copenhagen that kind of almost acts autonomously?
Yeah, autonomously.
It's called Freetown Christiana.
And it
It kind of plays by its own rules.
Is this like Wild Wild West? Wild Country? It's not Wild West.
You know, it was, I did actually think about that a little bit because it does, it's an area that has been, I'll get into it, but it's been taken over. And it is a place where it's just a lot of graffiti, a lot of independent stores. It's just completely independent. You are not really supposed to take photographs there. And especially you cannot take photographs of people without their consent.
What the shit is this?
And it has like a ton of graffiti, a lot of skateboarding, no cars, or very few cars are within the walls of it. And you can walk in and out very, very freely. And I'll post pictures because they have like, they have signs. When you first walked in, I was like, oh, I thought I was just walking into some, there's a lot of graffiti and a lot of street art in Europe in general, but especially in Copenhagen. But here I was like, oh, we're just going to walk into this thing. I was like, and I even asked her, I was like, oh, you want me to take a picture in front? She's like, no, don't take a picture. And I was like,
what?
And so I walk in there and I'm like, what? I immediately got on my phone because I was like, I need to know more. Because I immediately, I'm one of those people who's like, I need to know the history of what's going on. So it's basically a place where I don't even want to, I have all these facts in front of me. I just want to tell you about it. It was a kind of a former military base. And what was very interesting about it is between 1946 and 1950, I don't know if they capital punishment in Denmark stopped and started again, but it was used to execute Nazi sympathizers.
Whoa.
Does that excite you?
Yeah.
That is in there. Like, that is just like in there. So it was kind of a former military base. And when you see it, it's, you know, you can see a lot of building. It looks like if you watch a movie that's supposed to look like New York City, but it's really filmed in Canada. So yeah. They put up a lot. But it's like beautiful street art. There's a street called Pusher Street.
Do you get drugs there or what?
Did you? You might be able to get drugs there. It is called Pusher Street, and there's people just selling cannabis.
Cannabis?
Plural of cannabis? And I was like totally narked out. You know what I mean? I was just like,
whoa, dude.
And you could tell like the people, there's a lot of, because I think it's the fourth most tourist place in, I don't know if it's Denmark or in Copenhagen, because Copenhagen's, you know, there's a lot of history in Europe in general, and but in Copenhagen, I think it's, or Denmark, it's the fourth most visited. So there are tourists there, but there's a lot of people you could tell they're just there and they just, people, you know, a lot of people riding bikes in general. There's a lot of skateboarding, a lot of street art, and a drug culture, you know. Yeah. And so there's just a street where you could, and it's just, as far as I know, just cannabis and other, you know, CBD oil or whatever.
Yeah.
But they also, and I know this is not a place where, or this is not maybe an episode where it's like typical of what we talked about, but how it got that way is very, you know, it was starting in like 1971. In the 50s, 60s, it just kind of was forgotten about. There was like maybe a couple people watching it kind of, you know, from, you know, the military time, but it was kind of got forgotten about in, you know, Europe in the 70s. But in September 26, 1971, officially, Christiana was declared open by Jacob Ludvigsen, a well-known provo and journalist who published a magazine called Havelbladet, the main paper. So it was just, it was taken over by, you know, because I think what happened before that people were, because housing was so rough in Copenhagen at the time, so people were just like, I'm just going to squat here.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, let's make this a community.
Yeah.
But with that, you have pushback from, you know, the government.
Yeah.
Eventually, now there seems to be a understanding for the most part. Like, cops are like, listen, we're not going to come here. And although there's been a lot of violence in there because when you're selling drugs, people want to go in and sell bigger drugs.
Yeah. So, it's not incorporated by any, it's not like European equivalent, it's just off limits to the government.
There's an understanding because obviously water has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe also sanitation. But as far as like there, it's not necessarily like policed. I'm sure if you call the police, they would show up, but the police don't come. It's just like an understanding.
They're like, you can sell marijuana in here.
I think it's a thing where it's like, if you're doing it in here, because it's illegal, and, you know, for the most part, in a lot of, most parts of Europe, you're not doing it out there. And I feel like I see this in a certain light.
That feels very European, too. Yeah. It's like, you're going to, like, compromise. Like, let's compromise.
For the bigger, kind of like the, I guess, whatever very reason. Evolved. For the greater good.
Yeah.
And they built up a society from scratch. They have an electricity plant, a bathhouse, you know, athletic building. This is like, you know, in the 70s. It's very, it has almost a little bit of like a Woodstock vibe, but less of like the hippie-ish of it, but more of an urban.
Yeah, it's grit. It's like a grittier.
It's a little, it's a bit grittier. You know, yoga centers, there's, you know, theater groups kind of made their way through there. The mission statement, according to Ludvigsen, who is a co-author of Christiana's mission statement, the objective of Christiana is to create a self-governing society whereby each and every individual holds themselves responsible over the well-being of the entire community. Our society is to be economically self-sustaining and, as such, an aspiration to be steadfast in our conviction that psychological and physical destitution can be averted. So it kind of became like a hippie squatter movement, you know, collective for anarchists of that kind of like.
It sounds very like positive. Like it sounds very like healthy.
Yes, it is. But, you know, obviously when something is different, you know, people are there's going to be strife and trouble from that because it is different and new, because then there's like a tiny sense of lawlessness.
Yeah. Versus the outside world. But I feel like I always think about places like that where it's like a utopia that turns dystopia, but it sounds like it's still a utopia.
And it's just interesting when you're there, you can kind of feel it. You can kind of feel like people's, like I took a lot of pictures, and they will be on the Ghost Town Pod on Instagram, and there'll be a subsequent blog post on ghosttowntravels.com. Mm-hmm. It's just to be there is very interesting. I wish I kind of, I took some photos, but I wish I recorded a little bit of audio. But the thing is, I was sort of undercover, even though there's a ton of blog posts. There's, I'm not the only one, but I really wanted to both capture it and respect. You know what I mean? I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to be I don't mind being a tourist, but I don't want to be like that kind of tourist that are like. Yeah. And I could say people want their kind of privacy, where you know, even within the art. There, I took a picture of an art thing, which is a phone with like a circle and a line through it. And I took a picture of that, which is, you know, hey, anarchy, baby. Oh you God. Said you wanted
so
some
meta,
anarchy.
So meta.
I know, but there's a lot of just like, and there is something to that. It's like. You need to take a picture of every single thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of I appreciated that. And it's considered the fourth largest tourist attraction in Copenhagen.
Damn.
It gets about half a milli annually. And there's the businesses, there's a lot of skate shops. And,
bring
you
back a keychain.
You would love. I think you would really dig it there. You would really.
It sounds like it. Yeah. I love fucking anarchy.
Yeah.
I love weed.
Yeah.
I love art.
Yeah. It has all of that.
That sounds very fun. How's the food? Was it?
I didn't have any. I think the food in Copenhagen is pretty amazing. The food in Europe is really. I was just in Europe. Did I mention that for a couple of weeks? So, how do you Americans say the food's really good? I don't know how you.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll never know, really.
They have their own set of rules, independent of the Danish government. They forbid things like stealing, violence, guns, knives, bulletproof vests, hard drugs, and biker colors. So, sorry, you got to leave your cut at the door.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's famous for Pusher Street, where hash and skunk weed are sold.
I haven't smoked hash in a very long time.
Yeah. It does forbid hard drugs, cocaine, trans fats. That's a hard drug.
I can't go there.
No, you're not going to there. So hash is, that's a kind of controversial thing because, you know, some people are like, it's okay. And since 94, it's owned by the Danish Defense Ministry. So they still technically own it, but I think they're just kind of like,
go in here if you want. So wait, weed is not legal outside of this place.
No, it is not legal. I think, because Michelle was kind of curious, I think you can probably, it's probably relatively lax. I don't think you're going to, but you don't want to mess her because she also has a Canadian passport.
Mm.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Me as an American, I'd be like, I'm an American. Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. My cowboy boots are kicking up dust here.
We didn't want to mess around. We don't want to really feel like breaking any.
No, naturally.
I broke hearts. I didn't break any rules. You know, okay. I mean? Yeah.
Cool.
I broke 17 hearts. I counted.
17 hearts?
They didn't know it, though.
Oh,
There were like some kind of negotiations because I think eventually it was purchased by the kind of the collective. But it was in 2011, there was the area was sealed off just in attempts to like who wants to. Yeah, I think it's when people are like, we'd like to buy it. And then it's like, well, wait, hold on a second. Let's, and it had its share of riots in 2007 because they're trying to shut down this house. May 2007, workers from the Governmental Forest and Nature Agency, accompanied by police, entered Christiania, demolished leftovers from a small abandoned building. Cigar Kassen, the cigar box. They're met by angry, frightened Christianites.
Ooh.
Christianites. They have their own flag, by the way. I wanted to mention it. It's red.
How big is this place? Like, as
about a, I don't want to say. It's it's small. Mm-hmm. I mean, Copenhagen is not really that huge. It's big in the sense that it's big for a place that's kind of quartered off, mm-hmm. but small in the sense of how much land is. I don't know. I want to say less, maybe half a mile any direction.
Well,
I'm just
tiny.
Guessing. It's relatively small, but it's interesting to walk through and see all the different places. Because I was trying to find the area which has been demolished, but mm-hmm. the area where they did the executions.
Oh yeah.
But I could not. I mean, I would have to ask. I don't think people were really there for that. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my time looking for that because I was just obsessed with that. And I think that really kind of fits in with the nature of the podcast. And I was really unhealthily obsessed with with that. But so there was pushback from the police mm-hmm. and the Christianites. There was like tear gas. Mm-hmm. And then over 50 activists from both Christian and outside were arrested. Prosecutors mm-hmm. demanded that they be imprisoned on the basis they might otherwise participate in further disservices in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. It was a state of rebellion. There have been a lot of trouble with violence there, though.
Yeah.
Considering probably more violence than probably in Copenhagen in general per square mile because mm-hmm. of its... It's just a hotbed of ideas, I feel like. When you have like this hotbed of ideas, we talk about wild, wild country.
Yeah.
April 2005, a 26-year-old Christiana resident was killed and three other residents injured in a violent gang assault on Pusher Street. Reason was a feud over the cannabis market in Copenhagen. So this is, you know, 13 years ago, whatever, where things weren't, I don't know, the market for drugs. I mean, we live in Los Angeles, so the market for, you know, is more opened and organized.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then the open cannabis trade was ended the year before for a time. So people outside wanted to get over and take over. You know what I mean? They want to be the – I mean, you watched The Wire.
I did.
So it's like that.
Yeah.
Everyone wants
a piece of the pie.
Everybody wants a piece
Everyone's
of that.
In.
Everyone's
supposed to be chill, though.
No, man. But you know what I mean? But you want yours. Mm-hmm.
I'll get mine.
There was a gang shooting. Mm-hmm. There was just around that 2005. There was just a lot of violence with gangs, and then after that, this is the next day. Two cars pulled up outside Christiane, and 68 masked men with automatic weapons got out and headed for Pusher Street. When they arrived, they fired at least 35 rounds indiscriminately towards the crowd, killing one Christianite, injuring three others. So some saw that tragic incident as a sign of that the future survival of the community was dubious due to the risk of violence stemming from the cannabis market, because that's. If there was no drugs, I mean, yeah, it might be a cool place to skate. They seem to have like a stage, to have concerts, and they have a lot of things there. But really, I feel like that drug, you know, if you wanted to go and get high and smoke drugs and get an OD on pot, mm-hmm. Rebecca, if you want to OD
that's
on pot,
a scary prospect.
Yeah, but that's really the place you're going to go and do it and kind of feel. Kind of safe. You know, there's people that are just like chilled out playing backgammon. It was just a very, very cool.
Did you see any children in here?
Not really. I wouldn't say I saw many children, but I think there are because there's people that live there.
Yeah,
and they pay a nominal amount of rent. But it's just a very community. I think they had. I mean, I know Michelle bought something. I won't say what, and she bought it with with Danish money.
Euros. Weed.
I don't know who's listening.
It was a scented candle.
Yeah, it was a scented keychain, I think. But she paid with, she didn't pay with their money. So I don't know how their money is used or circulated. Yeah, so there's just a lot of, a lot of secrets,
city.
A lot of trouble.
Yeah.
In the 70s, they had their, a building called the Gay House, which shows, progressive in that sense.
Yeah.
Gay activism, parties, and theater. There's a group of gay performers and activists called Dunst were invited to take over the house so it can remain center for gay activity. So it was very progressive in that sense. And then, techno was, people call it EDM now, right? But I still say underground rave music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what I still say. Electric M.
Oh, you do? I don't. I'm so out of. That's why I'm just so out of touch. I don't know what to say that, but it should be shut down.
Oh,
because it just causes trouble. People staying up really late. Yeah, eating candy.
How late?
12:45 a.m.
Fuck.
Yeah,
shut
no.
the fuck up.
Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Nothing good can happen. In 2009, there was a grenade attack. A 22-year-old man had his jaw blown off by a hand grenade thrown to the crowds seated at Cafe Nemoland. And Nemoland is also the name of, like, the state. Like, I saw signs for Nemoland. It seemed like that was old. I saw some older and newer signs, so I don't know how old Nemoland is. In 2016, there was a shooting. Somebody believed to carrying the day's earnings from cannabis sales suddenly pulled a gun during a routine arrest and shot two police officers and a civilian. So there was, there's just been a lot of shootouts. It's just like a place where you're there, and I'm just kind of like, it's, even though it's chill, you want to be kind of aware of your surroundings. The Pusher Street is also known as the Green Light District. I think I took some pictures of that.
I like that.
Yeah, they got, you know, they wanted to get out the hard drugs, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to keep it,
it's interesting.
There was biker gangs in there. The biker gang was called Bullshit in 1984. Yeah, so there's been the Hell's Angels has established themselves.
I love how it's like really hard in some ways and really soft in other. You know, it's like fucking volatile gang, like, you know, gang activity, but only weed.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was just, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, you find this place that you weren't looking for. And when you're there, you're like, this is so, and it was like right before we were going to leave. And it's just cool to be in it because you don't see that now.
No,
and
I keep picturing like Emerald City and Return to Oz. Kind is that
maybe
off?
Maybe yeah, right. I mean, it is kind of depending on what you, I'd be a little nervous there after dark. I don't know why. Maybe that's just the scared side of me, but it just seems like it's a kind of well-balanced ecosystem, but all it takes is somebody to come in there and be like, I see an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that happens whether it's gentrification or it's like the drug trade, because here's the thing. It's like, if you know this is a place you go to buy drugs, and if you had a product like ecstasy, I call it X because you shouldn't do it.
Oh. I call it X because it's excellent.
No, we're different.
We're different.
But we still manage to make a podcast. That's weird. and you wanted to come in and because, you know, like Michelle has experience in the purchasing of drugs over the years. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you can tell the people there that are like serious drug deal. You know, there's people that are set up almost like it's like a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah, but you could tell there's some people there that are like, I'm here to sell drugs to you.
Yeah.
So you can get high on them.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah, that's
and
it.
And you come back.
Yeah, and you come back and everything's fine.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting place where I feel like anything can kind of happen, which makes it kind of exciting. And the fact that it doesn't have, you know, like a typical cafe or a Starbucks or anything, and it has this interesting kind of trade with like food, and I don't know how they do those interworkings, but they still kind of rely on I think, you know, Denmark for certain things.
Yeah.
But otherwise it kind of runs on its own. But I took pictures. I'll have a blog post up. I'll have pictures on Ghost Town Pod, and it's definitely
some ecstasy. So if you subscribe.
No, we're not running a charity.
It's from this place.
We're not running a charity either.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you want ecstasy, don't look to this podcast. But if you want to get like a real fun natural high.
Okay. Like a body buzz from knowledge.
Yeah. We're not it either.
Oh, no, yeah.
Go somewhere else. But you've already listened to this episode.
Yeah,
so
it's done.
You've already
Thanks
got,
for your time.
Yeah.
You'll never get it back.
Yeah. What are we going to do with it anyway?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.